Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Some say, and there's no way of knowing if it is true or not, but it's a pretty fair estimate, I think, in terms of history, that had there not been this man and his influence on 16th century reformer Martin Luther in the very early days of his life, there would have been no Reformation, not the kind of Reformation that we have seen in the 16th century. The church is remembering Johann von Staupitz, who's known as Martin Luther's father confessor. Is there a reason to remember him other than his close connection with Martin Luther? Joining us to talk about this, Dr. Franz Posset. He is associate editor of Luther Digest and author of the books The Front Runner of the Catholic Reformation, The Life and Works of Johann von Staupitz, and The Real Luther, a friar at Erfurt and Wittenberg. Dr. Posset, welcome to Issues Etc.
Oh, hello. Hi, Todd.
Staupitz is generally remembered as in his connection with Martin Luther, the 16th century reformer. Is there a reason to remember Staupitz apart from that connection?
Yes and no. He is, of course, a theologian in his own right. But the starting point, even to get interested in Staupitz, is Luther, who during his entire life always was very fond of Staupitz. And I remember... There's a letter from 1545, that is shortly before Luther's own death, when he wrote to the elector John Frederick of Saxony something to that effect, that Dr. Staupitz is first of all my father in this doctrine, that is the doctrine of justification, and he has given birth to me in Christ. So that says a lot about Luther and his gratitude toward Staupitz. But Staupitz himself was, of course, an expert in biblical studies and an eminent preacher that he was, you know, very popular and in demand to give sermons, especially during the Lenten and Advent season. So he was not just a footnote to a Luther biography.
All right, that's a good beginning. When we come back, we're going to talk more about Johann von Staupitz. Martin Luther's father confessor, Dr. Franz Posset, is our guest. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November is a book and a DVD. It's a Bible study on three major themes in Scripture: witness, mercy, life together. Now, the DVD features four instructional videos by Lutheran Church Missouri Synod President Matt Harrison. You can purchase Witness, Mercy, Life Together by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Witness, Mercy, Life Together.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Martin Luther's father, Confessor Johann von Staupitz, remembered this day by the Church. Dr. Frank Posset is our guest. Dr. Posset, give us, if you would, a brief bio of Johann von Staupitz.
A brief biography. Well, that's, of course, always a challenge when you write a book of several hundred pages and then try to find the most important highlights. I would say he was a man of faith and a man teaching grace and grace alone and the sweetness of grace, something that was rather unusual for his time. He was a Christ-centered theologian, and I think that's where Luther learned his Christ-centeredness from. Staupitz was very much a man of the scriptures and followed the order's constitution very strictly, that says that each friar in the Augustinian order should study the Bible avidly and thoroughly and daily. And from this religious order tradition, I think, there's a continuum from that order constitution to Luther's famous scripture alone, that he was actually growing up in the order with that directive to read the scripture alone and cling to the scriptures and most of all to that and nothing else. When Staupitz, due to his business as the religious order leader of the Reformed Congregation of the Augustinians, had to give up his own teaching position as a Bible professor. He made sure that he found a qualified successor, and he saw in Martin Luther the person who had shown during his earlier years in the order a great love for the Bible and Bible studies, and he didn't want to be a philosopher, he wanted to be a theologian, and so that played into Staupitz's interest in him. And over the years, though, Staupitz tended away from Wittenberg and spent most of his time in southern Germany and Salzburg, Munich, and Nuremberg. Many of his sermons were a series of sermons, and he collected those and put it into book form. And one of the most successful books that based on his preaching is called On the Love of God from the year 1517 and 1518. And interestingly, Luther, of course, read it, as he read everything that Staupitz had printed, read it and loved it so much that he sent a booklet to his mother, signed it, and in my Staupitz book itself, I have an illustration of that title page, Ein seliges neues Jahr von der Liebe Gottes, Happy New Year, about the love of God. That's the title of the book. And then at the bottom of the title page, Luther had signed and dedicated the booklet to his mother so that she should read it. And the book itself is today still known and kept in the Staatsbibliothek in Berlin in Germany, Preußischer Kulturbesitz. And that shows you, too, how much of a Staupitzian Luther was. Usually we think of or ask, did Staupitz become a Lutheran? At this point, early in the 16th century, it was the other way around, that Luther was rather a Staupitzian. And over the years, he always sided with Luther, even in the more radical kind of statements, except when it came to the monastic vows. Staupitz did not go along with Luther's criticism of the monastic vows. And because he himself, when the Augustinian order began to fall apart, became a Benedictine monk in Salzburg and the abbot of the Benedictines in Salzburg, which shows that when it came to monastic vows, he did not agree with Luther. But that was about the only disagreement. In terms of theology in the strict sense, they always, I think, pulled on the same rope, so to speak. And just to round up the biographical sketch, he died as the abbot of the Benedictines in Salzburg, but always wanted to make sure that Luther knew that Staupitz had not given up on Luther, and that he would have wished, if Luther were so much in trouble, that he could come to Salzburg and they could live there together and die together, as he said at one point. So he was very much Lutheran in that sense, that he supported Luther in his theological reform efforts and in his efforts to reform pastoral care, because both Staupitz and Luther were, from their inner core, pastors.
I know that you say in your book on the real Luther that the term Reformation is pretty rare with Luther. He didn't think of these things in terms of
right.
Reformation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's unfair to say that Staupitz would have thought of himself as a Lutheran. I think you're quite right there. Did Staupitz consider himself a part of what Luther was a part of?
I would think so, because Staupitz is one of the eminent representatives of the reform of the religious orders, of the mendicant orders, and the Augustinians and the Franciscans and the Carmelites and the Dominicans. They are all one class of friars. They are not monks. They are, and they were in charge of pastoral care in the cities. And so in order to reform pastoral care, the religious orders needed to be reformed. And from that matrix, so to speak, the reform ideas of the entire church got started. So I see a continuum between the reform efforts of Staupitz and the Reformation of Luther in the later years, because the word reformatio, reformation, was used in those years for all kinds of movements of change. For instance, the reform of the university system could be called a reformatio. The reform of the religious orders to be more strictly adhering to their own rules was called a reformatio. And the Augustinian branch that Staupitz headed was called the reformed congregation of the Augustinians versus the non-reformed. And so Luther grew up with this word of reform, quite comfortable with it. And we must remember that the word reform is used in Romans 12:2, where it says, reform your life. And in Latin, that's reformare. And that's where all this idea comes from, of reforming and reformation. And the word reformation itself was rarely used, as you read in my book, for Luther himself, and he did not consider himself so much a reformer, but as he liked to call himself, an evangelist, a preacher of the gospel. That was the essence of his life, not reform for reform's sake.
Well, then, with only 1 minute, Dr. Posset, is it safe to say, given how pivotal, not only influential, but pivotal at certain times, Staupitz was in Luther's life, that without Staupitz there in Luther's life, Luther may not have come to the conclusions he did, certainly not when he came to those conclusions? Is that safe to say with about a minute here?
I would say yes. That is safe to say. And some German church historian, I forgot the name, said, "Without Staupitz, no Reformation. At least not as we know it now." Because Luther was confident in what he was doing, because he knew that Staupitz was behind him, so to speak.
Dr. Franz Posset is associate editor of Luther Digest and author of the books The Frontrunner of the Catholic Reformation, The Life and Works of Johann von Staupitz, and The Real Luther, a friar at Erfurt and Wittenberg. You can purchase The Real Luther by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for the book The Real Luther by Dr. Franz Posset. Thank you very much. A special thanks to Resurrection Lutheran Church in Detroit, Michigan. Scott Benjamin is their pastor. They're part of the Issues Etc. 300, our congregational sponsorship program. Your congregation could be part of the 300 as well. This is a great time to think about it because your congregation right now may well be planning budgets for the next fiscal year. And in doing so, this is the time to ask your congregation to support Issues Etc. with $1,000 or more per year in their annual budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support. You'll find a one-page flyer that tells you everything you need to know about the Issues Etc. 300, and you can even use that flyer to present the idea of including Issues Etc. in their budget to your congregation. Thanks in advance for all your help. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, about how Christianity has historically thrived under opposition. Also tomorrow, we'll conclude our series on biblical chronology, discussing the New Testament church, the whole New Testament era. It's a short amount of time compared to the rest of the biblical chronology, but it's a very important time as well. We'll get some firm dates with Dr. Andrew Steinman tomorrow on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.